Hello and welcome to another episode of the Poppin' Bottles Dadcast. I'm Ben, and unfortunately Nick couldn't be here with us today. He is sick as a dog on the other side of the wall from my townhouse, and he'll be picking back up with us next week, where hopefully we will have a super special guest. But today, this week anyway, we've got the Life of Dad Special Part 2, and joining us this week is two members of the original six of the Life of Dad website and co-hosts of the Life of Dad After Show, Mr. Art Eddy and Mr. Ryan Hamilton. What's up, guys?
How's it going there, Benjamin? How are you doing?
What up, Benjamin?
Oh, I am doing splendid with plenty of mucus in my throat to kick in just when we start recording. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. So we've got two of the Poppin' Bottles crew kind of under the weather now.
I know. I'm hoping we don't miss
Poppin' NyQuil.
Poppin' NyQuil.
Totally.
Well, I don't do that sort of thing.
Benadryl or something.
Yeah.
No, we're talking about medicinally, man.
Next week on the Poppin' Bottles Dadcast, me and Nick are robo tripping. But
see, what you need to do right now, see, you all share that wall. You need to do the like right on his wall. You need to like wake that boy up and have him go join you. He has just as much mucus as you do, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
It's only fair.
Well, we could make a collection, and it would be to the benefit of scientific research everywhere. It'd be crazy.
That's something.
So, for those of you who listened to the last Life of Dad special, part one, we were talking to Ryan about basically how Life of Dad came into fruition, the website, which has been supporting us for the past couple of weeks. It's been awesome getting to know all these guys. And but today we have someone who we've never had before, Art. And being that they're part of the original six, I'd really like to get your story, man. How did you get involved with the whole Life of Dad crew?
Man, you know, just like that Disney World ride, it's a small world. And it's
really is.
Yeah, it is, man, because here's the thing. My friend Mike, who I worked in radio with in New Jersey, me, Mike, and another guy named Jay, we formed a podcast called Masters of None after we kind of got out of radio. And so we were doing this podcast, and one of his friends, Tom Riles, was talking to him, and he was like, you know, I see that Art is into fatherhood, he just became a dad, so and so, blah, blah, blah. He's like, would you like to write for the site? And they were like, sure, yeah, definitely. So, you know, Tom and I started talking, and, you know, I started talking to Ryan. Ryan set me up with a sweet profile, so I started writing. I think my first article was Kids Are Like Velociraptors. And
oh, man, that's a classic post. You all have to check that one out.
And, I saw the great vibe that Life of Dad was bringing, just kind of represent all dads out there, just from every spectrum. It was great. So I just kind of was glad that, you know, everybody liked my first article and started rolling. And then after a while, Tom asked Mike, he's like, hey, would you mind if Art and I do a podcast together? Would that be cool? I don't want to step on anybody's toes or anything and take Art, pretend to take Art away from you guys. Like, no, do it. So Tom and I started talking. We started figuring out, like, how we could do it logistically because he's on the West Coast, I'm on the East Coast.
Yeah.
And so we just had to try to find, like, a time that we could do it. So we started doing a couple episodes, and then you know, the rest is history. I think we're at episode 69 or 70 right now. So yeah, we're doing really well. And then for Ryan and I, I'm glad this, you know, this came to be with the whole Dad of a Life of Dad After Show, because Tom goes, you know what, I think we should do another show, but just showcasing dad bloggers. And I was like, great. And the original plan was to get the other five guys to co-host with me, like kind of do a round robin type of thing.
That's awesome.
And you know what? Everyone's got, you know, their thing. Everyone's busy and all that. But the good thing is Ryan's on the East Coast with me, and he started up with me doing it. And it was just like, hey, who wants to do the first one? Ryan's like, I'll do it. Sweet. So we do it. And then the second one, who can do it? No, nothing, tumbleweed. And then Ryan's like, I'm free. He didn't want to take everybody's, you know, spotlight. And then the third one, I'm free again. So it was just like,
free at last.
Yeah, free at last. So it was great because, you know, Ryan had so much enthusiasm to it. And the more we're doing, you know, bringing dad guests on, and, you know, Ben, we're going to have you and Nick on too as well. It's just great.
Looking forward to it.
Just like Life of Dad, for the written articles, this podcast, the after show, just again highlights dads out there. And not only do you get to hear their type of whimsy through the podcast, but you're like, you know what? I can see them, like, their writing style, this and that, through how they talk and how they think about fatherhood. So it's just been a blast. I've been very blessed and lucky to have Ryan, David, and Tom bring me in as part of the crew. So it's just it's been a great ride so far.
That's awesome, man. And just the whole group of you guys. And after getting to talk to you and talking to Ryan and talking to Tom, I've been able to talk to a little bit. Just the whole vibe and the whole everybody who's behind the website. It's just one big positive experience. It's great. And thank you guys so much for letting us be a part of it, really.
Anytime, man. I'm glad you reached out in the first place and, you know, introduced your podcast to us. You know, like Art said, we're about 70 episodes into our main show, and what I think about, my gosh, going on about 20.
Yeah, 20.
Around our secondary show, and then the thing to remember about, like, podcasting on Life of Dad is like it started off with the Life of Dad show, and I'm sure you know the listeners out there are you know well familiar if they're into dad blogging, definitely familiar with Jim Higley. He was actually the second show that we had kind of featured on Life of Dad is kind of our podcast network, if you will, which at this point has about 20 podcasts on it. Popping Bottles, Dadcast included. We're excited about that. But, you know, the thing to remember is, like, podcast for us, like, when we started off, it was kind of like, you know, I think it was Art, you on there, and Tom was on there, and I think Dan Lazar, another member of our crew, was on there, and I think it was kind of all, it was just like, hey, my name is, it was kind of like Eminem coming out, like saying, you know, my name is like, kind of really like an introduction to the Life of Dad crew that first podcast was. And then I think the second show was something called Heartbeats, which as I mentioned on the last show with you all on Poppin' Bottles, that, you know, the whole Life of Dad thing originated in this Tommy Ryle's personal blog about his daughter when, you know, he was in the hospital and his daughter had congenital heart defects. So some of the original Life of Dad shows kind of peppered in there were these things called Heartbeats, where Tommy Ryles would have, you know, another member of the community whose children had congenital heart defects. And he would kind of, you know, feature another family of what they call heart children. And he hasn't been doing quite as many of those lately, but you'll kind of notice in some of our charitable things, like woven throughout the site, we're starting to do a lot more. In fact, we've always done, you know, charity things and kind of work closely with some of the heart charities, like Saving Tiny Hearts is one of Tom Rouse's favorite. You know, we've started to work a lot more with kind of charitable organizations and nonprofit organizations. You know, organizations that do great advocacy work around, you know, fatherhood and advancement of fathers and certainly congenital heart defects and research and things like that. And, you know, last month was Movember.
Movember.
Important you know, men's health and things like that. And then, as I told you last episode, that, you know, we've started to, you know, monetize the company in the past year or so. Mm. But all of the proceeds that, you know, we make when we're working with a particular sponsor, you know, we like to pass that through and kind of allow our sponsors to designate a charity or a non-for-profit organization that, you know, they want the benefit. And so, you know, everything that we do, you know, to operate Life of Dad is always going to have some kind of giving aspect to it,
That's
which
awesome.
I'm really excited about.
That's great, man. And it's one of those things where I'd always thought when I started my first podcast, right before my daughter was born, I was thinking to myself, all right, you know, what's the point that I want to get to eventually? You know, like, let's say it gets going and people start listening and I get to episode, you know, 300 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking to myself, man, I'd love to be like a full-blown radio show. And the main thing that I thought about was doing charity events,
yep.
You know, hosting stuff like actually next I think it's next weekend with the Philly Dads group. They're going to be at an event in Phoenixville, Pennsylvania for Toys for Tots, that sort of thing. And so, you know, to see you guys doing stuff with, you know, with Movember and all those sorts of thing, it's really great to know that, well, I'm not the only one thinking about that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I hope all of us fathers, you know, I hope we all can, you know, like I said last time, you know, I want to see unity in the community. I want to see dads, you know, kind of get along and do these meetups. So like, you know, guys in NYC Dads group, they seem to be popping up and yeah, it's a unity.
Dadvengers. Dadvengers. Yeah.
But the guys from NYC Dads group, I mean, they're popping up and seems to be kind of like every major metro area across the states, which is awesome. So, I mean, it's awesome to see you, you know, kind of going up there and breaking bread with the guys up in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
But Chris Bernholdt and Jeff Bogle are big up there. So, yeah, I mean, it's just amazing to see, like, all these groups pop up and see the fathers really kind of getting together and seeing the maturity in the group. And yeah, like they said, like, these little pockets kind of getting along and meeting up and doing good in the community.
Yeah, it's great stuff, and you know, you talk about the guys getting together and really growing as a community. And speaking of growing, actually, that's something that's really where we left off on the last episode. Is we were talking about basically the future of, I guess you could say, dad media. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is a question for both of you guys, but Art, if you could start us off with where do you see Life of Dad in, let's say, God, like five or 10 years, like where would you like to be?
You know what, Ben, kind of piggyback what you said with, it's a great question too, man. I think that I would love to do something with a Life of Dad radio station, you know, or
yeah.
Just like a segment that's kind of syndicated, just doing the same thing that we're doing on the after show and also on the regular show, where we get takes on fatherhood from every angle, every person, every walk of life, because I think every father has a story. Doesn't matter if you're a celebrity, doesn't matter if you're, you know, the guy next door. I think there's always a story and people can learn from this guy's perspective on fatherhood. I mean, I've learned so much from Tom, Ryan, David, Patrick, Dan, everybody, Ben, you, but with everybody's posts, I think now more and more people are realizing, I think companies too will be like, you know what, guess what, dads are parents too. And there are certain things where, especially for me, being a stay-at-home dad, there are still things where people have to do a double take. Like, wait, what? No, what else do you do besides stay at home with the kids? And you get that constant. And I'm not saying like, oh, I'm a trailblazer, because there's been guys that have done that before. Mm-hmm. I just think it's getting more common. But I think there's that whole still thing. It's like, no, seriously, what do you do? How else do you provide for your family? And it just depends on every family situation, what you're doing, what you're not doing, and I would love to see Life of Dad as one of the, you know, the forefronts of fatherhood and spreading the, you know, the word about how dads are such an important part in a family and in a community, and we all need to kind of band together, so to speak, and just, you know what, especially in that one episode that we had for Man Therapy, man, where guys are like, I'm not going to talk about my emotions and stuff. I mean, there are certain things where it's like, you know, you're supposed to, you know, brush off your shoulders and get to it, man. Don't, you know, don't start. I'm not saying, like, you should start crying and bawling in front of your kids, but there are certain times where it's like, you know what? You should be emotional. You should be doing certain things. And I think there's a lot of times where guys are like, I'm not going to talk about emotions. Are you kidding me? But there are certain things where Ryan's opened up. I've opened up.
Yeah.
And I know you probably opened up, too, in front of your friends. And when people are just like, you know what? If he can do it, I can do it, too. So I'd love to see one Life of Dad having a syndication with whether TV, radio, what have you. And then also, too, fathers be on the same plane in the sense of in the sense of mothers that are perceived like, you know what? Both are caregivers. Both care about their welfare of their children, and this is why, because learning from people from Life of Dad showed us the way.
That's awesome, man. How about you, Ryan?
Well, I think, you know, and that's excellent, everything Art has said there, and I'll kind of piggyback on that and say, you know, it's absolutely important. You know, it's important to understand that fathers, and I think I mentioned this last time when I was on your show, is like, we have traditionally, and I focus on that word traditionally, not been seen as like the main parent.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about parenthood, you know, it's almost assumed that you're talking about, you know, motherhood and the mother in this situation. You know, everything from the baby shower on up through, you know, pregnancy up through early childhood, you know, the woman always gets kind of like the credit and the respect. It seems like, well, dads seem to be, kind of paying dues just to get, you know, some recognition.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about, again, you know, within the privacy of our own homes, sometimes on up to the kind of, you know, the society at large. I think when you look in, you know, movies and entertainment and media and commercials and advertising and marketing and PR, sometimes, you know, you might see, you know, a message here and there that's, you know, if not flat out demeaning to fathers, then kind of demeaning in ways that I think advertisers aren't even aware of yet. So it's important to kind of keep that dialogue open, which is important that, you know, all these groups are popping up.
Yeah.
It's important that we're seeing things like, you know, Dad 2.0 Summit, bring fathers together at least once or twice a year to kind of meet one another and to see how one another operates in terms of parenthood and blogging and business, but also kind of the monetization of it all. Like, how do we work with brands and how do we work with corporate America? Things like that. I think the area is still young. The whole fatherhood space is still in its relative infancy. And certainly this is, you know, nothing terribly, you know, I would say new, because, you know, there have been father bloggers for years.
Yeah.
I hear father bloggers were like doing this like, you know, 5, 6, 7, 10 years. And so, but the thing to understand is, like, when you hear those guys, they were doing it in pockets. I think traditionally in the father blogger game, we've seen kind of like these individuals, kind of lone wolves out there making a name for themselves individually. I mean, you've got your Charlie Capons and your Zach Rosenbergs and your Whit Honeys and
Whit Honey.
You know, you're kind of superstar dad bloggers, you know, Clay Nichols and the guys from Dad's Labs. You've got kind of these like superstar dad bloggers out there who've been doing it for a while. But then you've also have, you've got Life of Dad now in social networks and NYC dad groups and stay at home dad networks and kind of like these groups and these networks and these organizations, Good Men Project, you know, these kind of sites that have some aspect of community to them, and some aspect of scale to them. And I remember earlier in this year, I think January, February, at the last Dad 2.0 Summit, there was this like corporate panel and people from like, you know, Huggies were there and, you know, it's kind of like the brands talking. And I think one thing that one of the corporate people said is like, yeah, we're not necessarily in the business of working with individual bloggers, let alone dad bloggers, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of people left that last Dad 2.0 Summit, you know, Life of Dad included, and I'm sure, you know, other organizations included, and I'll kind of get back to that, you know, in a second, but a lot of us left there thinking, okay, we have to reach some kind of scale here. If, assuming we want to, you know, kind of participate in some of the, you know, the branding and the corporate rewards of dad blogging.
Yeah.
Like a lot of us started off kind of doing this for, you know, releasing our personal stories and kind of making a statement to, you know, marketing and entertainment and media. But there is some money to be made here. And so what happened after the last Dad 2.0 Summit is like a lot of organizations kind of like reached out to one another and called one another. Like I'll tell you flat out, like we called almost simultaneously. I was crafting, you know, like a day or so after I left Dad 2.0, writing a letter to Vincent DeCaro, VP over at National Fatherhood Initiative, literally at the exact same time that he was crafting an email to me. So you have these kind of like organizations and these social networks and these groups and kind of like these organizations within the fatherhood community reaching out to one another saying, okay, well, yeah, it's apparent that these corporate entities want to see scale here. You know, if you know, PR agencies and ad agencies are ever going to see, or in the world at large, are ever going to see dad bloggers as like a real thing, yeah, we absolutely need to see some partnerships. The dude, you were on, I think, Ben, you posted something in Dad Podcasters last week about, you know, the last Poppin' Bottles Dadcast that I was on. And the guy from Dad's Astro, Mark Stouffer, kind of saw there, and he responded to you. He's like, oh, my God, I'd love to see this cross-pollinization. Amongst the dad bloggers. And the reason why is because it's absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. The only way we're going to take on media and some of the quote-unquote negative imagery that's kind of and is traditionally kept fathers and fatherhood down in terms of perception, in terms of identity, in terms of image, our image in society, we're going to have to stand up, stand together, and petition, and band together and be kind of a force to be reckoned with. Like wherever a corporate entity might look, Pepsi might look over at this lone wolf dad blogger over there in the corner. Whereas, last year he might have just seen, oh my God, there's just a lone wolf like dad blogger. Fast forward to right now and probably 2014, 2015, and crap, you asked about 2020, like who knows,
right? Yeah, right.
But they're gonna see that dad blogger in the corner and they're gonna see kind of a posse around him.
Yeah.
Like, Life of Dad crew, you see six of us original founders in crew, but you also see like kind of circles and circles around us of dad bloggers and podcasters and content creators just rocking out, doing dad blogger chats, doing video.
Yeah, man.
We're getting on your podcast this week. Hey, by all means, you get on our podcast next week. Let's visit Jim Higley, next month.
Yeah,
we're going to see a lot of, I've been saying for the past month or so, like dad blogging is the new hip hop because it is. You're going to see, just like the hip-hop game, just like the music industry, a lot of collabos. And you're seeing... Dude, we're on a collabo right now. Like,
this is the remix.
By all means, this is the remix. No popping bottles.
Back to drop a bomb on it.
Will the real Whit Honey please stand up?
Absolutely. By all means. We're gonna continue to see this type of stuff, and it's only gonna get sharper, more professional. We're all gonna get better equipment, better mics, more money.
Yeah, right.
It's like we're all growing. We're all growing together. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? Life of Dad, right now, is the wind beneath my wings.
Oh,
I don't even know how I feel about that, dude.
Well, just don't look
I,
me.
I feel excellent.
Yeah,
did I ever tell you? Sorry.
Oh God.
Hey, you brought it there, man.
look, I was running with it. I just let my feelings go. I mean, you guys were talking about, talking about emotions earlier, and I felt it, and I went with it. And you know what? Cards are on the table.
I fly higher than an eagle, man.
I've finally come to grips with how I feel about that. You know, I'm glad to be the air allows you to soar. I'm glad we are.
We are soaring.
We are the Air Jordans on your feet.
So you had brought up, the dad bloggers and whatnot. Being lone wolves at one point and then coming together and being more noticed. Mm-hmm. And I immediately thought of the first time that, I haven't looked yet at how many people are in the Dad Podcasters group, but when Nick and I first went on the Dad Bloggers group on Facebook and saw that there were over 500 individuals a part of that, that's crazy. That is so exciting, and just getting all these updates throughout the day from the share threads and everything like that, everybody, not just trying to get their image out there or their blog, their podcast or anything like that, but everybody else is sharing everybody else's stuff.
Absolutely.
I'm almost speechless. Seriously, just knowing that there's that community building out there. As far as stuff such as the Dad 2.0 Summit, that was news to me as well. When I looked into that and saw how huge of an event that's becoming.
And let me tell you what, Ben. Dad 2.0 Summit, make no mistake about it, is the wind beneath my wings.
Oh, yeah.
And I can unequivocally. I'm sure all six of us in the Life or Dad crew can unequivocally say that right now.
So what you're saying is, Dad 2.0 Summit is the wind beneath the wings of the individuals that are the wind beneath my wings.
Oh, that's meta.
That just went really deep.
That's, dude, I'm thinking I'm going to have to, like, reflect for a few hours on that.
I know, right? We're going to stop recording. I'm just going to
pick up, like, wow. An hour later.
Wow. So. I'm going to burn some incense. I'm going to think on this. Jeez.
Contemplate truth. I think you're going to love it.
I hope we can get there in 2015, man.
So y'all are going to make it out on 2014?
No. Unfortunately not.
Gotcha.
Just real quick, want to throw it out there for our listeners. Those of you listening, you can find us at poppinbottles.lifeofdad.com, where you can also find the blogs of both Nick and I and Ryan and Art. If you poke around, also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/poppinbottlesdadcast, and follow us on Twitter is the most important one, because we're on there just constantly, at PBDadcast, as well as our personal ones, at BKM505 and at Brownie_22, as well as our guests today, Ryan Hamilton and Art Eddy, at Ryan E. Hamilton and at Dad at Work NJ. Capital NJ. How are things out in Devil Territory, by the way?
I guess they're all right.
That was so exciting.
I'm not a hockey fan, per se.
Okay.
And it's funny, too. I'm a Red Sox fan, and so I'm in the Lions' den. Well, maybe not a Lions fan, because I don't live in New York City, but I mean, every time I'm wearing a Red Sox shirt and jacket or hat, everyone's like, oh, we got 27. I'm like, oh, guess what? We got three. This one, so what do you want to do? And it's funny, too, because there's a lot of people who say, for Celtics fans, like, oh, just because you won one recently, you're always, like, hail back to your, 16 championships otherwise, but Yankee fans kind of do the same thing. So it's just kind of funny. But, I think the Devils, I got to pay respect, because there is that, the Ranger-Devil rivalry, which is kind of cool. Mm. I was a part of it when I was in radio. The host, Jay, and myself, we did a couple of buses to either the Devils or the Rangers, and it was cool to see a game and seeing, like, both sides of, like, how much people hated the other side, and being like, yeah, Devil fans suck, and Ranger fans too, like, fruity or whatever. So it was kind of cool to see that. So I take it you're into hockey then, Benjamin?
The reason I bring it up is I actually was reading through an ESPN magazine. I was reading up on Brodeur.
Okay.
For those of you listening, if you don't follow hockey, he's the I guess you could say the all-star goalie of the New Jersey Devils since, I think, 1992 he started out.
Yeah.
But big news, somewhat, for the 2013 season. So he's still goalieing for him. And his son actually just got drafted to the Devils this year. So it's gonna kind of be like a father son dynamic going on with that team there.
That's awesome. Cool.
And yeah, that's a really cool thing. And I started thinking about it a little bit, and I think I started writing about it even too. Was having that dynamic between father and son, especially when you work together. And I mean, I know you guys don't have any experiences of this as of yet, but what do you think of, or basically how do you think you would handle that type of situation if it was you and your little offspring working in the same place, doing the same thing?
I mean, it's tough in the sense of you don't want to, show favoritism to your son, and then you don't want to go the opposite side and be like, a hard ass, It's like, when people say, like, treat him as like a regular guy, that's going to be hard, because, like, if something happens or you want to, like, quickly correct them, like, if I was, Martin, I'd be like, oh, you should have done this, you should have done that. No, that's the coach's job to say that. You can kind of pull them aside, but probably in the heat of the moment, especially with, athletes, they want to, kind of correct what's going on right then and there. So I think that's a tough situation. It's cool. It's very cool, because not that many people can say that.
Yeah.
But I think that you gotta, for Martin, and I think he, since he's been in the game for a while, he'll know what to do. But it's gonna be, you never want to see your son or daughter falter in anything, but especially when you're right there, when it's right in your neck of the woods.
Yeah.
Your job, man, it's tough to like bite your tongue, right?
Yeah, definitely. Ryan, what do you think?
Man, I suck at sports, dude. I can't.
What? I'd say it's not even a sports question. Not even a sports question.
Yeah, right. Let's say you know your son grows up and it's like you guys are coding like at the, you know, he's coding for Life of Dad because the enterprise is so big,
mm-hmm.
right? And at that point, like he's coding and all that stuff for, and he's building this and that website and all that. You check out a website and you're like, you know what? Let me give you some point. Like obviously, it's going to be a little different because you can have a one-on-one conversation with son, but it's still kind of like, you know, just picture that. Like, how would that be? How would that transpire, I guess, right?
Like, how would you handle, you know, because this is actually something I've seen a lot through reading articles and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
where there's the father-son dynamic at home, and then there's the father-son dynamic at work, which I actually went through a bit with my own dad. But yeah, what are your thoughts on that? Like, how do you think you'd go about that?
It's an interesting situation because I remember when I was a kid, when I started programming, actually, you know, I was in like first or second grade or something.
Jeez.
And my dad had a computer store back then.
Oh, wow.
And he would have me do like little, you know, menial tasks like data entry, and like if a customer bought something at the store, he would have me like, you know, key it into the system, stuff like that. I mean, help out with a customer here and there and kind of learn the ropes of the family business. I think he was instilling values in me.
Okay.
And I guess if I had to, you know, in fact, my son right now asked me how to code. I'm teaching him HTML and things like that.
That's awesome.
He's building a website. So, you know, not like he's technically in the quote unquote family business yet, but he is showing an interest in what daddy's doing. And I am absolutely approaching it as a father. If I see him kind of doing some things that he could be doing better, I would absolutely be, you know, approaching that from a fatherly perspective with him, especially with him, you know, given he has autism, he has, some special needs in his education, his, sociability.
Yeah.
So I'm looking out for his career from an early age.
Yeah.
You know, I acknowledge the fact that he might not necessarily have a quote-unquote easy or normal kind of course throughout his educational life, throughout his college years, throughout his early career. Like, it might not go as smoothly as one would think.
I got you. Yeah.
And he might have, like, a tougher job, you know, time landing a position at an employer, you know, for instance. So I'm making sure that I'm getting, you know, keeping him engaged in things that he loves. And I just, oddly enough, he loves technology and he loves gaming, just like, you know, he's like kind of a chip off the old block.
Nice.
And you know, I could definitely see that if and when he does grow up and, you know, perhaps code circles around me, you know, he sees technology from a different perspective, like from an early age, you know, from way differently than I saw it when I was his age. When he's out there in his 20s and coding something that is, you know, he thinks is impressive and things like that, and I think he's like a little young whippersnapper or something. I don't know. It's like, I think I'm always going to kind of see him as my son first.
All right.
And not necessarily as like an employee or a coworker.
Yeah. Speaking of technology, because this is actually something we were talking about a show, I think it was episode 4. Nick and I started talking about technology a little bit because one of my in-laws' friends, they it seems like every time we see them, their kids, who I think are ages 8 and 12, they're on their iPads almost constantly. And they're doing stuff that's creative and they're doing stuff that they can learn from, like their like math programs or math games. They play Minecraft, like... Like I can't even believe the level that this kid is at with that game, but you know with this generation where there's it was kind of weird. I was sitting there with Emma, my 4 month old. She was sitting on my lap, and I was texting my wife Carissa, and she starts poking at the screen, Emma starts poking at it and like starting to type, and I'm like, wait a minute, no. This is too weird. This is just too weird.
Yeah, my son used to do that too.
So what do you think would be, I guess, the primary, like, do you think there's going to be somewhat of a language barrier as far as technology is concerned between, you know, us who grew up with, well, to be honest, I grew up with N64, but, you know, nice. I spent most of my time out in the woods, which was nice. So we grew up with, you know, with books and the occasional television and eventually, you know, computers and stuff like that. But, but these kids are starting right off with, you know, weird futuristic stuff that we didn't even think was going to exist when we were kids.
Right.
So what do you think is going to be like the, I guess, the technological language barrier?
For me, like, I kind of actually made this joke today. You know, the whole evolution of man where it's like a monkey and then it goes to the caveman and like the guy walking. The next picture is going to be someone walking but looking down at their phone.
Nice.
And I think with anything, and this is coming from a collector, some people might call me a hoarder of Star Wars and Air Jordans and stuff, but I have to. But I mean, look at documentaries on people about stuff, and I think, yeah, I think I'm a collector, not a hoarder. But even before this, while I say that, because I want to be fair, so people can be like, people that, you know, listen to that might know me, like, dude, shut up. But I want to say everything is good in moderation, and it's tough. I mean, for me, with certain things, if I'm checking to see if an interview is going to happen or an article is going to get posted or what have you, I'm checking my smartphone here and there. But I think with my kids, my wife and I try and limit television, movies, and iPad. I mean, my daughters both know they're 5 and 3, and they both know that, oh, can I download this app or can I get this? Download that My Little Pony app? I'm like, what the? I mean, I joke with my dad and said, you know, I bet you would love to have like an iPhone on our long trips or like, you know, the DVDs and the screen and all that in the van and all that. I mean, it's great. Innovation is great. Anything, there's always pros and cons. And I just think that the biggest thing is moderation. You want to have time where, like, my daughters will say, like, can I play on my iPad or like your iPhone or your iPad, Dad? And I'm like, no. And they're like, why not? I'm like, well, let's use our brain. Let's use our imagination first. Let's do something. So we'll try and do a craft. We'll try and do puzzles or whatever. And it's cool because my youngest right now, she's in preschool. Jordan, she's 3, and she loves doing puzzles. I mean, we can sit for hours just doing different puzzles here and there. And I think that's part of, you know, growth and brain development. So, I mean, they are great because there's some great learning tools. There's certain things that will help kids to read on things, but I think moderation is key. Technology is a beautiful, beautiful thing, but you just got to kind of watch, and you don't want your kids to be just so involved in it that they lack communication skills.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I echo everything you said there. It's about moderation. It's also about kind of diversification too. It's like, nice. Yeah, I mean, you want yourself, let alone your child, to have kind of a richness and a diversity of things that you're doing on a day-to-day basis. I mean, I, honestly, like, I'm certainly far from the person who's going to bash technology and be like, you know, kids shouldn't have iPads, kids shouldn't have, you know, technology. Because, yeah. I mean, I look at myself when I was my son's age, and I grew up with literally in front of a computer. And I kind of joke with people, like, look at me now. Like, you're going to tell me, like, technology made me stupid and made me, like, not want to go to, you know, hang out on the beach and hang out with my friends? Like, no,
you're the poster child for just the opposite if someone says that, man.
I'm a poster child for, like, look, you can be highly tech interested and tech savvy and a hardcore gamer. Like, you know,
yeah.
I mean, I remember some of my childhood friends' parents used to walk in on us, like, he's still playing that mindless crap. Like, we were having fun. We're having fun with our friends. Unlike, you know, not unlike any other kid having fun with their friends doing anything, like playing baseball side or playing video games, whatever.
Yeah.
But there's definitely something to be said about, like Art said, moderation. When I took my son to St. Louis here a few weeks ago for Thanksgiving, you know, my son gets to hang out with his grandparents, my parents, basically. I think my mother's, like, because my son loves the iPad. I mean, he could be on it 24/7, he would, you know. Yeah. But we have to, you know, and as much as I'm into tech, like, we kind of have to, like, wean him off the thing and get him to, like, hey, let's play a board game. Hey, let's go outside. You know, a lot of the time we spent over the, you know, Thanksgiving, we helped, you know, my dad, his granddad, you know, rake the leaves outside, blow some leaves outside. We had a blast. I mean, him just riding around the, you know, the tractor and, like, pushing the rake and using the leaf blower. He loved the leaf blower.
That's,
like,
awesome, man.
Yeah, just introducing him to different things. But my mom's major concern is posture. I mean, when you're looking down at a screen for extended periods of time, your neck is kind of, like, pointed down and your back kind of hunches over and yeah. It's like you're sitting down and you're kind of sedentary and it's like, no, I don't think a human body should be doing that.
Bent that way.
It's not good for your, no, it's literally not good for your organs. It's not good for your spirit. It's not good for your mind. A better posture, more open posture helps kind of, like, you know, release certain chemicals and, you know, endorphins and things that actually improve your life. So, I mean, there's all kinds of aspects to that, that, you know, kids plus tech. I mean, there's certainly many, many, many pros, and I'm awesome, you know, I'm always going to be there to kind of, like, champion and be an advocate for those pros.
Yeah.
But as tech savvy and as, you know, much of a technophile as I am, I do acknowledge kind of the potential pitfalls in it, too.
For another thing, too, I think for kids, when they're growing up, they start, unfortunately, I think my oldest, 5, and I don't know about you, Ryan, for Isaiah, but, like, I think there are certain things where she gets now, she can get self-conscious with certain things. It's like, if I don't know this, or I don't know this toy, or I don't know what they're talking about, I feel like I kind of need to. Mm-hmm. So for tech, I think that you don't want your kids to be sheltered from it so they have no idea, and then they can over-abuse it. When it's almost like, you know, binge drinking when you get in college, where it's like, I never drank a beer before. I'm drinking 24 of them. All right, let's do this.
40-40s.
Yeah, because you don't know what's going on. You don't, like, you know, to borrow that line from Spider-Man, you can use it in any situation, but with great power comes great responsibility, and that's where the moderation comes in from. You want them to be in the know, but you want them to be in the know for all the right reasons and not the wrong reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also say, like, I think I said the same thing when we you know, Art, we had the interview with Zach Rosenberg a few weeks ago, and we were talking about, you know, like, the different generations. He was like, yeah, all the baby boomers got was, like, you know, basic cable and he made a good point. It's like, our generation, like, the Generation X and, like, the millennials, we were at the forefront. Like, when I was sitting in my dad's store as a kid, first, second grade, like, Apple was in its, you know, young, you know? And look at it now. I mean, I started off on an Apple II. Now I'm on an, you know, iPhone 5, you know?
Yes,
you know, something crazy. But it's like, we used to dream about technology like this when we were kids. So Ben, you ask about, like, the language barrier, like, kind of a language gap. It's like, and I think I might be a little different just because I've always been a programmer. I've always been a developer. I've always been, like, you know, into tech.
Yeah.
But where I am now with technology is, like, it's along the same exact continuum from, like, that first grade state on up to, like, right now I'm, like, 35 and have a second grader of my own. I am loving the state of technology in the world right now, and I want to kind of see it continue. So it's almost like I cannot wait to see what our children do with the technology that they're given.
Yeah,
I certainly want to see them using a moderation. I definitely want to see them, like, look at a sunset and see how beautiful it is with a girl that they love. So they're building technologies and using technologies to actually do something good for humankind and not, like, to the detriment of it.
What's something that you think you have learned throughout your life that you really want your kids to learn as well?
Great question, man. And as much as it sounds cliche, you know, people say it all the time, I would say just, I think for me, it's just being yourself and just being happy who you are, not changing yourself for anybody, because if you start changing, you're going to lose yourself, and you don't want to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, be humble. no matter what, how great you are at what you do, like, there's really no reason to toot your own horn too hard, unsolicited, or to be all egotistical and braggadocious about things. Because, dude, you're not all that great. Like, in the grand scheme of things, you're a small speck in the universe. And many other human beings that share the same space with you have just as much capacity and talent and skill that you have. Just stay focused on what you do best. Allow it to add positivity to the world. Everything else will kind of take care of itself.
Thank you guys so much for coming on.
You too, man.
Be safe out there. Happy holidays.